to the Homemakers Club podcast. The Homemakers Club is a sisterhood of women who value the old-fashioned ways and traditions of making a house a home. As you listen in each week to conversation between myself and a fellow homemaker, it is my hope that you'll feel as though we are old friends and you are stopping by my home for a long-standing weekly tradition of sweet tea and sweet conversation. As good old friends do, we will celebrate the simplicities of ordinary days and come alongside one another to navigate the joys and hardships of homemaking. It is my prayer that when we say our goodbyes at the end of each episode, you leave with a heart that is enriched and filled with provision, so that when you tie your apron strings each morning, you are joyfully ready to create a beautiful and fruitful life within your home. Grab a cup of tea and I'll meet you at the kitchen table. Hey everyone, welcome. Today I have my friend Katie DeGroat. You can find her on Instagram at Catherine Louise DeGroat. Her and her dear friend Abby wrote a beautiful resource called Hopeful Homemaking, a Guide. And later we're going to discuss that. I think it's going to be a useful and beautiful tool that you can bring into your home to learn all things homemaking, cooking, cleaning, rhythm, the heart of home, everything that you need to become a homemaker or be revived as a homemaker, you can find in this piece of work that they wrote together. But before we talk about that, I'd love to introduce my friend Katie. Hey Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Ashley, thank you so much for having me.
Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, the journey that you're in right now with homemaking and motherhood?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So my husband, Seth, and I live outside of St. Paul, Minnesota. We live in a smaller community, and we are making our 150-year-old Victorian home. We've been in this area for a few years, and we are the parents to three young children. We also have a dog and two chickens. And I have always been a homemaker. I really have loved the art of homemaking. I think it was a call that was put on my life as a little girl. It was the first desire I remember having, and it was kind of a unique desire because of my upbringing and the culture that I was raised in was very not that way. So to live and to be in this role is truly a dream come true in a lot of ways. And really, like, my heart's desire has been fulfilled in this. So I have parts of my homemaking journey that have been really challenging. I think as homemakers, there's areas that we naturally excel in, and then there's areas that are more of a growth area. So for me, cooking has not been my most favorite domestic duty, but I am learning and beginning to fall in love with it. And of course, for me, where I really enjoy and find happiness in homemaking is in home decor and documenting life and a little bit of hosting too.
Was there someone that planted that seed in your heart? Or can you kind of pinpoint where in your history you think that that developed? I know you said that you've kind of always had that, but we grow through the seasons of life. And so at what point do you think, like, okay, this is where it was pivotal in my heart to want to be a homemaker?
As a very little girl, I loved playing with my dolls, and I loved, you know, babies and playing with my dolls and my dollhouse. And my mom worked outside the home, and she was an incredible homemaker. And she always baked and was always making things for people. She is an incredible seamstress. When she was in high school in the late 60s and early 70s, she was given this award called the Betty Crocker Homemaker of Tomorrow Award. It's just so interesting because even though my mom had a career outside the home, she has always been an excellent homemaker. So that was something I had as a little girl. But I was also really enraptured by what I would see in magazines. So Victoria magazine, I remember like hoarding it, and Martha Stewart, and just looking at these images, these beautiful homemaking images as a small girl, and just being so inspired by them. And I loved what I saw in those publications, which I think, you know, obviously they're beautiful editorial images, but the heart of what is being expressed in that type of content is so much deeper than just the visual, the physical.
I'm almost convinced, the more I think about it, that really what we're craving within those tangible goods that we see in the magazines, like you were saying, or the ones that we're bringing in our home, it's actually the heart behind the product and the lifestyle behind the product. So they capture scenes. So like dinettes with the coffee on the table. Well, okay, yes, it's a beautiful dinette, but really it's like calling you in for a moment of sitting and joining together in fellowship that I think we all have those heartstring moments for.
Yes. And I think so many of us are longing for something else. Sometimes critics of the homemaking movement say, you know, you're trying to return to a past when people didn't have rights or something like that. But what I see with the homemaking community is wanting something more. And maybe it's truly just a life with less dependence on electronics, like entertainment electronics. Maybe it's more time with our children or our friends. Maybe it is slowing down and having, you know, coffee with a neighbor. So I think it's all of those things that we desire. And I don't think it's just the homemaking community. I think as a larger society, and this is where you see, you know, the massive popularity, I think, of the farmhouse decor movement. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about how like 1800 style dresses and those hemlines are really popular right now for women's clothing. I think we've kind of come to a place where what's being presented to us as an option isn't really working and we want something different. I don't necessarily think it's about a return to the past. What I think it's about is going forward into something else. Mm-hmm. My husband and I talk frequently about this because I'm always reflecting on the people that came before me. And I love, love, love history. I was a history minor in college. And so I'm fascinated by history. I love antiques. I love thrifting, all of that. We live in this old house, but I'm also very curious about creating something better for our kids, because I think what was presented for me and what has kind of happened in society isn't great and isn't working for people.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed it, obviously, since I got back on Instagram 2 years ago and started the Homemakers Club, it has grown rapidly. And not just within the Homemakers Club, which is where I kind of just hang out. I don't really even go on my personal Instagram very much. I just kind of hang within the community and see what women are doing. But when I do hop over to my personal, I'm seeing more and more women pouring into their homes, or more and more families kind of honing back in to maybe what's deemed as like the old-fashioned way of living. And that's actually part of like the Homemakers Creed. Women who adore and love the old-fashioned ways of making a house a home. Not saying that we have the old-fashioned ideals and values on all things on all fronts, but right. There are very big, beautiful treasures of the lifestyle from back in the day that I think have been lost and forgotten, that I think, like you were saying, we're all kind of craving that slowdown. I don't even know how to like pinpoint where that disconnect is from modern day society to back in the day. But it seems like so many people are craving that. What do you think that is?
I think it's so many things. I think it's partially that what we have offered women isn't working, and we've kind of come to the end of ourselves. And I think it takes a lot of humility to say, well, maybe what I want isn't a fast-paced lifestyle. Maybe what I want isn't the biggest house with the most expensive vehicles. I think we've been presented with a very one-dimensional view of what success looks like. I know for me growing up, especially as I got into my high school years, there was a lot of pressure put on myself and my peers for, you know, certain kinds of education to pursue, certain kinds of career to pursue. I went to this all-girls Catholic high school and it was fantastic and I made so many wonderful friends, but there was a real intensity about getting into the most prestigious school that you could get into, right? So they really put the Ivies and the UCs and University of Chicago on a pedestal. And there wasn't really a lot of encouragement for, you know, not everyone needs to go to Harvard, right? And we all have something to offer our communities and we all have equal value in the eyes of God. but a real sort of, I really would call it the rat race. And I think it's a response to, you know, what kind of happened to women, you know, before the 60s, but I think it's a disordered response. I've done a lot of thinking about this. I almost was a women's studies minor as well with history in college. And I didn't end up getting that as a minor because I would have had to stay at school longer and I didn't want to pay more tuition. But I just don't think that the present narrative is working. And I see that so clearly because I see that so many women are deeply unhappy. And I think unhappy women create a real difficult thing for society because I believe we are the heart of our homes and we can create the tone in our homes and we have so much power in our homes, especially. So I know that folks sometimes come into this through the back door of the aesthetics, right? Sometimes people are really attracted to things like you said, the beautiful vintage wares or even reproductions, which are very common now, but it's so much deeper than that. And I've seen a lot of women in my own personal life really say, you know, I'm going to do something different. I think especially after the pandemic, I saw people moving. All of a sudden people were leaving and moving to different places because they didn't want to maybe stay in the same place because it wasn't working for them anymore. So I think there is real power in looking at our lives and saying, what isn't working? And I have a lot of opinions and views on this topic because of the community that I was raised in and kind of what I've observed. But I don't see any fruit coming from a culture of bitterness and anger and discord and any sort of movement that seeks to, you know, dismantle familial bonds, I think is really dangerous. And it's very sneaky. And I think it presents itself as, you know, oh, this is about, you know, creating, you know, more peace in your home. But I think what ends up happening is it can breed resentment. And so for me, homemaking is super radical because, like I shared, it was not at all something that was encouraged. And for some of my ancestors, it was something that just was not available. So I view my role as a treasure. So it's always very interesting to me when I hear people describe what I do as a form of oppression, because I've never felt more free.
Amen to that.
Thanks.
I love that. Like you were saying, you went to an all-girls school that pushed Ivy League. I went to a private school that was college preparatory. If you graduate from the school, everyone will basically get into any university of their choice. And so that's just what we were doing. My mom was like, college. I think kind of our generation was kind of, that was just taught in the school. Home ec was kind of falling off. When I first got into high school as a freshman, home ec was still there. By my senior year, it wasn't there anymore. It was no longer even a class. Oh, yeah, it did not exist
in my high school. It would have been a joke in my high school. I love my high school. So if anybody from my alma mater is going to listen to this.
But there is no home ec.
I do love it.
So I think our generation was kind of that we might have been the cusp of like losing that in our adolescence because now further education and career outside of the home was what success was as a woman, maybe. And like you yourself, you went to university. There's been so many women who did. They've went on to further education. They started these careers. I know so many that decided to come back into the home because they were just unhappy. Not that it's wrong to want that and to get the education. And some women feel called to do that. And that's wonderful. But it's almost like ingrained into us that you can't be successful unless you prove yourself in the business or professional world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about this text a long time ago about, you know, it used to be you didn't have laundry in your house. You would send your laundry to a person in town and they would do it. Typically, and especially in the American South, this would have been Black women. Mm-hmm. And they were the laundresses in the community. And they would do the laundry on a big cauldron and they would stir it. And it was, you know, with really, really intense soap. And they provided their community with clean clothing.
Wow.
And I'm sure at the time, these women were looked down upon, not only for what they did, but for who God created them to be. But I think, what would it be like to not have clean clothes? putting on a clean shirt in the morning and, you know, putting on clean clothing makes you feel like you have dignity. Mm-hmm. And I just think about how critical the work that those women did and the impact on society. And so, yes, we need everybody in society, but I think it's so interesting how we truly downplay these tasks. And I think we see this reflected in like how we pay daycare providers and, you know, how we view people who don't necessarily have a college degree. And it's just so fascinating to me because I think that the work that people do within their homes, and I think work like childcare, hospitality, housekeeping, that work is so critical to our society functioning. Mm-hmm. And it is so worthy of respect. And I know for me, I always knew that I wanted to be home with my children. It was like the most important thing. And I was so fortunate to meet a man who also valued that. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you the number of older women who've come up to me and said, you know, I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have had more children. That's one that I've been hearing recently that I think is super interesting. And then, you know, I wish I would have just really savored this time. And so I think if you're able, because truly not everyone is able to be a full-time homemaker or to be, you know, home with their children if they want to. And that's really unfortunate because I think if you want to, you should be able to. But I think if you can, and there's any bit of you that has a desire to just wholeheartedly pursue it, because I just think what a tragedy to regret that, you know? Mm-hmm.
My grandma recently, and actually most of the time now, she's 89 years old, and she kind of knows the end is nearing. You know, obviously we never know when, but mm-hmm. anytime I might have like a little bit of a grumble or a little bit of like, oh, yep, grandma, sorry, the kids are always needing my attention when I'm on the phone, like any kind of little comment about that, or we've got to paint this room, or we've got to do this, like talking about things. And even if I'm not grumbling, it's just like chaos, you know, or tending home, tending children, tending husband, like all the things. Mm-hmm. She always makes a point to tell me that I'm currently living the best days of my life. And that is something that I wish I could gift every woman, the ability to take a step back and like hear my grandma. And she says it with such impact and fruitfulness mm-hmm. in her voice, like as a matter of fact, like lovingly, like, these are the days of your life. And once my children are grown, I want to continue homemaking. I want to always have them in my home. I want to have worked so hard at my marriage that now in that next season, my husband and I have survived these years of the chaos and running children to sports and doing all the things and painting the house. Life is so crazy right now because we have children, but I want to have put so much time and intention into my home that when I hit the next season, it's maybe like a lull, like a calmness, but I don't want my homemaking to stop at that point.
I think that's beautiful. I feel so peaceful because I feel like our home is just beautifully ordered. And sometimes I feel like we're kind of an anomaly because, you know, I sometimes can feel kind of lonely in it, which is why I'm so grateful that there is this community. But I find such groundedness in, you know, doing something like planning our menu or thinking about, you know, morning basket homeschooling activity for my older two children. And it feels, again, like I think so personal to me, and I think it's probably similar to other people who love homemaking, but it feels like living out almost like a destiny and really truly a vocation, because I view it as a vocation. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so good to be expressive in the public world of this role, because I think like as a high school student, I would have loved to have had your page to look at. I would have been so encouraged because it wasn't until really I discovered blogging at the end of college that I was like, oh, I don't know exactly what I want in life. I mean, I know I want to be a mom. I know I want to be a stay-at-home mother, but I don't really see that reflected in my greater community very often. But when I found other women who were blogging and writing about their day-to-day lives, these moms, I was like, yes, that is what. And my first, the one that I fell in love with was Stephanie Nielsen. This is like way back OG blogging days. She wrote a blog called The Nini Dialogues, and she and her husband were actually in a very tragic plane crash that burned significant parts of both their bodies. They have since recovered, not without quite a bit of work and surgery. I followed her blog the whole time, but she wrote me a Christmas card this year and I almost cried because on the back of it, she said, I don't know exactly what she wrote, but she's like, I'm just so proud of you, you know, because we had started reading each other's, you know, blogs, or I started reading her blog before her accident. We stayed in touch all these years. And she was such a role model to me. I remember being just fascinated by her because, you know, all around me in my community growing up, you know, people weren't even really like encouraged to, or even really talking about marriage until their like late 20s, maybe. And, you know, here, Stephanie, she had 4 children by the time she was 27. And it's not, you know, I didn't start having children until my 30s, but it was more of, here is somebody who is like in love with their husband and not afraid to talk about it, has children that they adore, loves creating a home. And yes, I'm sure she had and does have bad days, but it was so refreshing to me. And it was like, yes, this is the role model I'm looking for. And there have been many times where I have considered deleting my account or going private or like just not having an Instagram because, you know, people can just be unkind. But what keeps me going is the community of other homemakers, but also recognizing that, you know, to maybe another young person, I could be encouraging. And so that's what keeps me, even though I really struggle sometimes with if it's the right platform for me to be sharing stuff that is so sacred to me.
How do you deal with that opposition? A couple podcasts ago, Liz Marie Galvin had talked about that as well. And in her mind, she has created the opportunity for a learning opportunity when she is presented with opposition. So she's all about creating a cozy home. And so sometimes she'll get comments like, this is not cozy, because she likes like the woods and whites and neutrals. And they say, this is not cozy. And I died laughing. It was so funny when she said that. She says, well, what cozy to me may not be cozy to you, but this is how you can create cozy within your home by addressing the senses. So it's like, it's a tool that we can kind of acquire to address opposition. How do you do that? Because homemaking is all about heart shaping and heart tending. The things we share, we believe so much. So it's hard to not be hurt by the opposition. And not just in social media, because people at the grocery store may say something, or friends who live a completely different lifestyle. So opposition's not just on like Instagram, it's in real life as well.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. I think speaking from my own experiences, I mean, first off, I'm far from perfect and I've had to learn these lessons the hard way. For me, it's not really been random people on the internet. For me, it's actually been people that I know. I kind of call it my old life. I call it my old life because it was when I was not a mother and not, you know, not a wife. It was just a different season. And so with that different season, and I think also maturity level at the time, you know, drew different people to me. And, you know, of course, not every relationship is for all time. So much of the time, I think what happens is, you know, people are hurting and upset about something within their own realities. And, you know, because you take pictures of flowers in a vase, or, you know, you talk about the positives of motherhood, you become the target for their frustration or their pain. And so I try really hard to ask questions. Like I said, I haven't done this perfectly, but I also create boundaries too. From a spiritual perspective, I think it's okay to get comfortable with being unliked too, because that's just going to be the reality sometimes. You know, not everybody is going to like us and like homemaking. But what I think is interesting is for even people who are typically like, you know, disgusted with my views or takes on the world, they're often still drawn into things, you know, so they're drawn into the aesthetics of homemaking. And I think it's because deep down in at the bottom of someone's heart, there's something in them that is attracted to that. And so just sitting with the discomfort sometimes, as hard as it can be, is good.
And I think that there's maybe like an underlying longing for home. I think that our world has become rather a homesick world. It all starts within the stirring of our hearts. So earlier you were saying how maybe some people find themselves wandering into this homemaking community because they're drawn to the aesthetic of it, the way it looks and the beauty of it and the simplicity and all of that. But what ends up happening is like now all of a sudden they're trying to bake or now they're trying to do this. And I think that that's what is like the coolest thing. And it almost gives us like power to face opposition because now we're learning how to claim our homes and separate ourselves from that past. It doesn't define who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of gives me fuel as well when I face opposition, whether it's in the DMs or in real life when friends or family have made comments about my decision to not pursue a grand career or to finish college or whatever. And you had said, like, I feel free now that I'm in my home and treating it as a vocation in rhythm and time and creativity and trying new things. That gives me more confidence when I face opposition because I know what I'm doing within my home and I know the impact and value as well. So it gives me the confidence and then I can respond in love as well because I do believe greatly that we live in a homesick world and I think everyone kind of has a little bit of longing, whether they realize it or not. I think that it's developing in a lot of hearts.
Yes. You know, I think of perspective. I knew the kind of the current cultural trend towards like bitterness and resentment did not resonate with me. And I just think that's such an unhealthy way of living. And so I'm very opposed to it. And so that created conflict because, you know, people would be like, well, I want to be able to talk bad about my husband to you. And I was like, why?
That's not productive.
It's not helpful. Yeah. It's not. I used to call it solutions oriented. I'm like, I want solutions oriented, you know, like joy seeking. And I remember my husband being like, you have to let some of these people go. Like they're not healthy. Like I don't like what they kind of bring up into you. So for us, there was almost like a cultural shift, but I look back even on say 5 years ago and I see that the seeds were there, right? Mm. Like, you know, even though I grew up with divorced parents, there were seeds there for, you know, creating a healthy marriage with my own husband. And really working through generational curses too, because that's something that I think tends to kind of go along with homemaking is our past and then our family's past and generational stuff that comes up, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Because the secular world calls it, you know, genetic patterns or whatever, like you have a predisposition towards alcoholism or whatever, but the spiritual Christian community calls it generational curses. So same concept, really, just two different names for it. And I think, you know, oftentimes I'm praying, you know, asking God to remove like, you know, any sort of generational curse so that like I can step into the fullness of who he's created me to be at home. And I think what you said about homesick, I think that is such a perfect term for it, you know, because I kind of see the fruits of it as like bitterness or like anger towards children, anger towards men, a lack, I think, also of identity. Identity, I think so much of this comes back to identity too, not knowing just who we are, who God made us to be and resting in that. And I think you see that culturally right now, and it is extremely unsettling and it's very confusing. And I know my husband and I, sometimes I think, are we just like out of step with reality or something? But then I look at what we're both united in doing, and it's creating, you know, first of all, protecting our children's childhood. We listen to 90s music a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We just like goof off. And I said to him yesterday, we're listening to 90s music in our garage that he turned into kind of like a bar. It's sort of fun. I'll have to send you a picture, but you'll love it, Ashley. But we were sitting in there and I said, sometimes when I listen to this music, it makes me angry because I think about what it was like to be a little girl in the 90s and, oh, okay. I mean, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but I think about the current events that are happening right now. And my daughter, you know, our oldest, my daughter is only just barely 4. And I sometimes have this anger, like I have to spend all this time and energy protecting her, you know, like looking at every book that people buy us to make sure the content's appropriate, or, you know, being so mindful about where we send her to preschool or do we homeschool her, because it's just such a different culture now. And like, I'm kind of angry about it, but then I find myself just even more feeling resolved and peaceful and hopeful, because I think we've seen a really great movement with like getting kids back outside and like recognizing that not every child learns the same way or whatever. We see some really beautiful things. And so it does fill me with hope. And I literally just pray and I say, God, you need to show me what I need to be doing.
So when you were talking about the fight that you and your husband have for protecting your children's innocence, and that intention is what I think women as homemakers, whether they work outside of the home or they are home full time, I want to give them the power to understand that that right there, that's homemaking. So it's mm-hmm. not so much, I don't think necessarily the idea of like making a beautiful home and being mm-hmm. on top of your laundry every single day. Like those things are part of it, absolutely, because I think there's incredible importance and value in a clean and orderly home with good nutrition, and you can mm-hmm. save money by making things from scratch and learning these new skills. And I think that all is part of the homemaking idea. However, placing intention and value into what you are trying to do within your home, whether you're married, have children, whatever season you're in, your children are grown, like that right there is homemaking. I'd like to ask you, how would you encourage someone who's just now entering the homemaking world? So it could be they already have 3 children, they could already be retired, or they're just starting off as 19 years old and they're just kind of starting to understand that call within their heart. What would you encourage them to do to start from scratch and understand their value within their home? Because that, I think, is what breeds purpose. Like when you were saying, like, you guys are listening to the 90s music, my children actually are really amazing. They have great taste. It's either like old school rock and roll or like 90s hip hop. They really have great taste, and it came from my husband and I for sure. So it made me smile when you were talking about it. But what I was hearing you say is that you have purpose within your home and you're willing to fight the fight and put the effort against the grain to build your home in the way that you and your husband believe to be powerful. And that, I think, gives purpose and value to your homemaking right there. So mm-hmm. what would you say to someone who says, well, how do I be a homemaker? Like, how do you encourage them, or what would you, like, where do they start?
Oh my gosh. I think you got to just claim it. You got to take on that mantle and you got to say, this is who I am. And I don't think there's one way to be a homemaker. And I know you don't think so either, Ashley. Mm-hmm. So you just go with it. And I think throw out everything that you think about success, you know, what, you know, because I think we have this image of what is a successful person, and throw that out and you create what you would define as, what does success mean to you? Because I can tell you that the current cultural narrative to me, I'm like, I want nothing to do with that. Mm. That is just throw it in the trash and we are going to do something else.
And it's so, like power. Like you feel like you're tying your cape. That's why I say like tie your apron strings and like tackle your home. Yeah. Like you have so much power. I feel like we're like preaching right now, but you have so much power to sit down over a cup of coffee and be like, today is the day where I'm going to sit down and write out what I believe to be important and valuable. And these are the steps that I can take today, right now, even if I don't have my dream house. I joked the other day saying doesn't I like matter. A 5-acre garden, which I learned is actually called a farm. Like right now, right now, that was funny. Right now, like what can I do right now to claim my home? Because I'll tell you, as soon as you understand that you're building a foundation for your.
Well, that's why it's a threat, right? Like if it wasn't powerful, if it wasn't important, it wouldn't feel so threatening. Mm. Like people aren't threatened by things that aren't powerful, period. So I think, I remember when I was, you know, like very single and I lived in this apartment, it was Art Deco, it was super cute, but it had roaches and I could never get rid of the roaches, and I made it into a joke. But I lived there, and I remember teaching myself, okay, I'm going to learn how to make cold brew. I'm going to learn how to make kombucha. And because I didn't have kids yet, I had quite a bit of free time, even though at the time I didn't think that I did, but I did compared to now. Right. And so I was learning stuff. And then I think also encouraging the next generation, I love to bake with my kids, and it's very chaotic and messy and kind of wild, but I have a little learning tower, and I pull it right up, and I have these kids' aprons, and I have them put on their aprons. And I think if they remember this from their childhood, I've done all I need to do, you know? So I think it's just claiming it and learning along the way. I think there are so many fabulous resources nowadays. That's one beautiful thing about technology, is we have really the world at our fingertips. I mean, my husband watches hours of YouTube grilling tutorials, and we've been like grilling and smoking meat all summer. I've been, you know, doing a little bit of canning this summer, and I've been trying to do more bread baking, but it's just, it's worth it to pursue these hobbies and these skills. And I think that's really step one, is just, and find people. I think finding the right community. So finding friends who want to encourage you in your homemaking journey, who seek the best for you, and not just in your homemaking journey, but find friends who encourage you in your marriage and in your motherhood journey. You know, find friends who are people who are encouraging to other people. You know, that is so critical. I think, you know, you need friends who are going to tell you when you're, you know, out of line, and you also need friends who are going to push you towards your best.
Mm-hmm. And honor what they understand your big picture is. Yes. And you understand theirs. Yes. So you can help them stay on track with their big picture and vision of life and their purpose.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's obviously, like, I've been doing a ton of reading and like learning about friendship, and just trying to kind of get to the bottom of some of my own personal challenges around that. But I keep coming back to just like finding people with similar views on morality, so that you can encourage one another. And I know for me, once I kind of started doing that, it was like every single person I had, my son just had a birthday gathering, and we had invited a few friends, and I told my husband afterwards, I was like, every single person here, I was so happy to have them here. And they're all just wonderful people that I trust. And I know I could leave, you know, my children with them, and that they, you know, have the same, they're not identical to us, you know, of course they're not the same person, but just that similar morality. I think that's important, and encouraging one another, spurring one another on towards the good, because that's so needed.
We are talking about friends and who we associate with. Obviously, Abby is a good friend of yours. She's an Instagram friend. You told me you haven't actually met in real life, which is exactly why I love the Homemakers Club so much. There's so many opportunities to make really amazing friends. We may all come from different pasts, but we all have the same golden thread running through our hearts of home. So I'd like to wrap this up real quick with you telling us about the publication that you and Abby created. It's called Hopeful Homemaking, a Guide. I think it's going to be a really incredibly impactful tool for so many women.
Thank you. Yes. So Abby Franz and I came up with a short guide. It's not super long, where we sort of break down kind of the basics of homemaking. So everything from the basics of menu planning, some of our favorite recipes, day-to-day schedules, family culture. I remember when the lockdown started happening, I kept reading piece after piece after piece from women who were really upset, because what I think has happened is, you know, we've created a culture of learned helplessness, where we don't have systems in place, because nobody taught us how to do systems, because we've been able to, you know, maybe outsource all of that. And if you can't do that anymore, how do you begin to create a schedule for young children if you're at home with them? Or what does it look like to plan your menu and to look at what, you know, your pantry? Or what does it look like to do something educational from home? So it was really kind of out of the, for me, I would say out of my experience of watching what people were saying after, you know, 2020. A friend of mine calls it each one teach one. We each have a skill that we can teach. And I certainly didn't feel qualified, because it's not like I'm a professional baker or a professional cleaner or, but, you know, I take care of my kids and I get up in the morning and, you know, I do the laundry and plan the menu and buy the food. So I knew I could share what had worked for me and what I had learned along the way from other women pouring into me. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it was time for, you know, Abby and I to pour into others. And so we both have a background in professional photography. And so that was really fun to photograph this aspect of our lives. And, you know, we have long winters here in Minnesota. So it was a really fun, you know, wintertime project to really hone in on. But the guide is simply meant to be inspirational, encouraging, and hopeful. I think so much of what we hear about homemaking is a lot of drudgery, and it's hard work. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, hanging the clothes on the line, but it can be really beautiful too, if we let ourselves lean into the beauty in it. So I wanted to create something that was positive because I was so weary of reading negative things. So that's what it is. It's heavy on the photos. You know, Abby is an incredible photographer and writer. So it's something that we're both really proud of, and we hope to collaborate again on something similar in the future.
Wonderful. Well, I will include the link for your guys's guide in the podcast notes so anyone listening can find it easily. And thank you. I'm so glad that the two of you were called to do that and that you pounded pavement and got that done for so many women. And Katie, thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast.
It was truly my pleasure. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank y'all for being here and for the work you are doing within your homes and sharing home with the world. I believe with my whole heart that every day, the more we share home and the art of homemaking, we are upholding the way in which home was intended to be productive, fruitful, and beautiful. Though your days may seem ordinary, little by little, you are building something quite extraordinary. Keep up the good work, my friends. If you haven't already, I encourage you to join our sisterhood on Instagram at We Are The Homemakers for daily encouragement and fellowship. And of course, subscribe here as well. We Are The Homemakers, gathered for good. See y'all next week.